All right. Hearing God speak personally to you. Now, this sounds like a mystical type of thing, where you are listening for voices that don't really happen. But this is something far more certain than this, and something that we want to understand. In Acts 7, it's right there in front of me, 7:38. This is he that was, in the world, was in the world, in the wilderness. Okay, this is too strange. I was actually trying to tell my wife about the singing this morning, special music, and I couldn't get the words out, so something's going on with me. This is he that was in the church in the wilderness, with which the angels which spake unto him in the Mount Sinai, that he was with, when he was with, okay, this is too weird. So, it looks like I could read it, but I'm just having trouble. This must be something like a,
Are you okay to stand up there?
I feel fine. It's just the brain's not working on this, so.
Well, don't read it.
Yeah, the, also then Hebrews 7:10, right? For this, the word of God is quick, meaning living, breathing, and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and is the discerner of thoughts and intents of the heart. Both of these say that God's word is living. Now, we can say, well, that's a symbolism or something, you see. But it's far more than that. 1 Peter 1:23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but that which is incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth for us. Liveth and abideth. Okay, liveth and abideth is what I'm trying to get across. So the idea is that the scripture says here, and let's look at that next one. First Peter.
Would it help if I printed out yours in larger font?
I was having trouble reading it. Right? Just,
just trying to interpret it. It's like I can't read very well. But there you go, First Peter. So, word of which God, which liveth and abideth. So, the word of God, which liveth and abideth. So, let me just share with you this. Definition of the concept of hearing God speak personally. Now, this is giving a non-mystical meaning of the concept. The mystical people are saying that you have to get into some mindset, some way of thinking that allows you to imagine that you are hearing God personally. This is not what we're after. This is not the way God works in this thing. A.W. Tozer was actually known for really preaching the idea that you could hear God speak in present tense. Here's a picture of him. He said this: the Bible is the written word of God, which okay, you can read this. So I'm not going to try to do this. This is too weird. But the idea is that this is something that God has promised, and it was Tozer's idea that we could actually that God was working to make sure we could understand what he was saying, God personally saying it. Another man, Glenn Scorgi, there you go. He's a person I hadn't heard of, but was reading about him, the same idea of being able to actually connect with God in what God says in the Scripture, and be able, in fact, to hear him speak to us. Then he says, love not lingering? is the key. Well, whatever I'm trying to read. Adolf Sapphire was a man who really got into the Word of God, and he was also preaching this. He was a much earlier guy. You see the way he looked. And his idea is that God draws near with his Word. So he goes on to say, quoting from Jeremiah 23, that, yes, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. So he says that all of God's vocabulary is summarized up in the idea of love, that God does not speak a language that man speaks. He doesn't speak Hebrew, doesn't speak Greek. This is not an intellectual thing. This is understanding that God communicates with us straight to us in love. Now, this is an important concept then. So, second thought here tonight is that discerning the concept, which is understanding how the concept works. How does this work that we understand what God is saying?
I printed a larger print
one. Okay.
Well, just maybe the lights up here.
Okay. All right. Thanks.
Here, right here.
Okay.
I didn't double side it, so.
Oh, okay. That's good.
Throw them on the floor.
Yeah, okay. So what does it mean for us to actually be able to hear God speaking through, you know, with the Word of God? The concept, how it works. Isaiah 53, verse 11, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void, but shall accomplish that which I please, and shall accomplish the purpose in which I intended to go. Okay. Now, God wants us to understand what he's saying and to just take it in. Let him speak directly to us. Jameson Fawcett Brown says, it is because the spring of God's accompaniment is that God's word carries in it the germ of life itself. Now, that's a strange, interesting concept. He says, because it is because that what God is doing has brought the message that he's writing directly to us. So Matthew Henry went on to say that those who know not the Word of God, who call it dead work, he says, if you call what God has said dead works, you're not listening to God speak at all. Well, then the third thing is this, that defending the God concept, what is God trying to say in this? Well, this is finding the biblical cause, or the biblical example. So here's an example. What we see in the Scriptures, the tendency is to find the scriptures being taught by people who analyze it so much that they say, in fact, that we have to analyze who said it, who wrote it. We have to analyze then what it means, what it meant then, and what it means now. And that sounds very accurate. There is a wise thing to read what God says and to understand who he wrote it to and all these things. However, there is a way of approaching this that misses what God is actually doing. So let me show you how this works. This is an example of the scripture itself. King Solomon, you remember, writing the book of Hebrews. Psalm 101. The Proverbs of Solomon, the king of the king, son of David, which David of Israel. How embarrassing. Well, anyway, it introduced, this is Solomon and the son of David. He then explains, Solomon's words are easily understood as addressed primarily to his son. He says, I'm writing this to my son. And this goes on, Proverbs 18. My son, hear the instruction of thy father. So we're thinking, okay, we're listening to Solomon speak to his son. And we're getting, you know, and that's a good idea for us to listen to his son. And then Proverbs 1:10. Okay? My son, you see. The next one. My son, walk thou not in thine own way with them, and refrain. Okay, you can read. All right, I can't. Proverbs 2, my son, if thou wilt recall thy words, my son, my son, my son. And then again, Proverbs 10, 3, 10, my son. Is that right? 3:1. 3:1. Oh, yeah. My son, forget not my law. Now, all of this tends for us, and what I often read is that the people are saying we're getting this message from Solomon that he was giving to his son. Now, all that sounds right. So we see all this, but let's move on then. This brings us to another example, because at this point we're reading a passage that that's going to be quoted in the New Testament. Proverbs 3:11-12. Did I say it right? Okay. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord God, neither be thou weary of his correction, for whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he is well pleased. Delighted. So that's the word. It's just the same. Solomon the king writing to his son, and he says this. However, what we find in the New Testament is the Apostle Paul writing to the people, not of Israel. Well, they were Israelites, but this was far, far different in verses 4 to 6. And he says to them, you have not yet resisted unto blood. He goes on, he says in verse 5, you have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you, he says to these people, first century people, speaketh unto you as unto children, not Solomon speaking to his son, but God speaking to you in that scripture. Now, what he did was to completely bypass all the grammatical structure on this thing. He was just saying, you can see that Solomon wrote this, but it was God speaking to you. I found that very, very interesting. So he encouraged the Hebrew, and these were Hebrew Christians, to remember that God is speaking to them directly. That this phrase written by Solomon to his son, God inspired it, meaning God was writing it to you, using Solomon's words. So, let's just take that for what it means. If we're going to understand what God wrote, what God inspired, then we're going to take it with the realization that God is greater than us, that God has written this through men, but directly to you. God, we understand Solomon was writing to his son, but the important thing is that on the spiritual level, God inspired the words to refer to his children. He says, you have forgotten what God says to you as children. I mean, this is amazing. This is beyond our ability to rationalize it out. The fourth thing is this. I want to delineate the concept, marking the borders of how it works. The inspired word that God gave is that had been fulfilled with the Spirit, the breath of God. The idea of inspiration is that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And let's look at this. The verb, the phrase, given by inspiration, translates a word that is theopneustia. That's the Greek word, and it means theo, spirit, pneust, breathed, God breathed. This isn't God doing a breathing, this is God breathes Scripture. What God has given to us is actually God breathing it out. This is Him speaking His word using the words that men have spoken. But it was God's words. It's complicated to really get the idea, but God is saying, I use these men to write concepts that I was writing to you personally. And if we take it any less than that, if we say we just have a lesson learned from Solomon here, we've missed the point, you see. Because this is God Himself speaking to us. All right, the fifth thing is directing the concept, teaching the concept to remote people. What God was doing here is showing that this is not just learning from what men have said, but far greater than that. the concept is Paul is urging the Scriptures for them to read it, for them to understand it. It was written long before, in the time of Abraham, time of Solomon, and then now it's being applied to people in the first century. So the contrast, you see. So he wrote to the Roman people. These were not Jews at all. He says, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. He says, it was written to the Jews, it was written by the Jews, and God wanted them to understand it. But go beyond that and understand that he was writing it to you as well. Most scholarship leaves us with just a lesson to be learned by what they wrote. But seeing how the book of Hebrews applies this, we understand that God was speaking directly to us, and we should be interpreting it that way. Let's see if I can get Adam Clark here. And from what he says here, they which learn that God has not
intended them, merely for
those
generations.
Right.
So
this is more than just what we would figure out. M.J. DeCona, what does he say? Whereas exploring the...
exploring the Bible, everything that's been written can teach you something. God had it written with that purpose.
Yeah, God wrote it with that purpose. And Matthew Henry says this is the idea that... it was written for our understanding. It was written to communicate something directly to us. 1 Corinthians 13:6, writing to the Greeks, here's the same thing. He says, all of this was written to the Jews, written for a very important purpose, but what's going on here is that he wrote it for our sake. And in this, that's one of those passages where he says, the thing is, God was writing to the Jews about how to handle their cattle. And he said, don't muzzle the ox when it's working in the field. And so he says, do you think God really cares that much about cattle that aren't made in the image of God, that won't be going to heaven, you know, as far as we know? No, he says, he wrote it for us, that there's a lesson there. That the ox, God in compassion, says, don't muzzle him, but while he's working there, let him eat of what he's working in. And his application is, pay the preacher that's working, because the dumb ox, you know, needs to have something to eat. So we are to pay the preacher, if we can. And he says, this is something then that you should know, this is something that you should abide by, because God was writing it to you. In fact, he says, altogether for our sake. So, sorry for this inconvenience that's got me scrambled. But here's my conclusion. As you sit back and read the Word of God, and... You're just reading it. Recognize God intended you to read it as His word to you. If you recognize how great God is, and that this whole concept of knowing everything, that He worked out the way things were going to be, that God saw all of time when He created it, then we get this idea that he saw when we were writing, when we were reading the Word of God, and knew what we needed, and knew when we were going to read it and what we were going to read, and scheduled this scripture to fit us and anyone else that's going to need it. Sit back, listen to his voice as if he's sitting right beside you, telling you what you need. And then you get the idea, you see. Otherwise, these scriptures don't actually mean anything. We're just learning a lesson like we would listening to any wise person talk. But it's far greater than that. We actually hear him. He's worked it all out. And that's the concept behind actually hearing God speak as if he's speaking to you. He really is, and he's worked that all out. Let us take that time then to sit down, read the Word of God, and recognize that he is speaking to us. He says, you are my children. And while we recognize that was something written to somebody back then, he wrote that so that it meant you and me. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for the Word of God. I ask that you might clear up my thinking here, that the words won't be scrambled. Some sort of strange thing happening to me, so we just think that'll be very inconvenient. So we pray thy blessing, healing in us in this regard. I ask thy blessing then upon each one of us as we look to your Word, understand it to be the truth, and applying directly to us. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.